All right, Satnam, welcome to the post-eclipse peanut hour.
The post eclipse.
The post-post, it has been many days we've been in process mode.
Yeah, I don't think we're doing well.
I think we're doing okay. I
Yeah,
think we're doing okay.
it's like I said to you last night. This is something that my friend Sita and I will joke about. It's like, I don't think we're doing as well as we think we are. Or no, the line is, are we more fucked up than we think we are? It's a little like that.
It is a little like that. So this begs the question of the chicken and the egg, if we go back to where it all began. Is it intense because we're paying attention to the energy, to the astrology, or is it intense regardless if we didn't know anything about anything, we would still be feeling it? So what's your hot take on that?
I think it's the stories we tell ourselves. I think it's, hey, I'm feeling a little weird, or I'm feeling a little off. Like I have this little headache behind my eye that I've had for like 3 days. It's like a sinus thing. So if I were just, a normal person, I'd be like, oh, must be pollen or sinuses or whatever. And I'm like, boy, I hope that implant they put in during the eclipse settles down and plays some good binaural beats because it's really annoying. And I had no shame posting on my Instagram stories that I was popping two Advil and not looking back.
I saw your story and I thought, oh, maybe I should take Advil for my headache that I've had for 12 hours and I haven't done anything about.
Well, it was ibuprofen, but the number of responses I got from people being like, oh my God, I have a headache. I have a headache. I don't get headaches. I have a headache. I don't know. I mean, I just said to Ian, I was like, is this our first day in human bodies today? Because the two of us have been bumping around like the dopiest humans you've ever met. He's like, I think I'm gonna go take a shower. And then like he made some nonsensical joke and he's like, maybe I should eat something. And I'm like, I don't know, do I need to go brush my teeth? What are these bodies that what is this? Are we?
I've been making a concerted effort to drive as little as possible. On Friday, which was 3 days before the eclipse, I was driving around kind of just not, I won't say I was a maniac, but I was like, I just wasn't paying super, like a lot of attention. And it was a little scary. And since then, I've been very, very, very cautious. But at the same time, feeling like, even just walking down the street, like walking to the grocery store, walking to get some coffee, I'm not really paying attention. And there's something that does feel a little bit out of body. For me, the headache, absolutely. I'm probably dehydrated. I'm sleeping a lot, like taking naps in the middle of the day, which is not normal, I guess. I don't know. It becomes normal as you age, but I don't think we're quite there where we can really normalize it. Like, oh, it's 1 p.m. Let's take a nap. So.
Well, I think, we did a lot on the day of the eclipse, you and I. We did a lot. We did a class that was like, we did an old sort of retro class that was like 3 hours long. And then we did that. There's something called a timeline jump you can do with P the Fury. We did that. We both have bought that guided meditation. So we did that together. I wrote
I
some
did another workshop in the evening. I did 2.5 hours of yoga before, earlier in the morning. I mean, it was significant.
Well, yeah, I mean, around like 4 o'clock on the eclipse day, I was in the soup, and I was like, wow, I don't know. And then the workshop came on at 5, and it was actually really good. Like it was very, I feel like I was sort of, it finished whatever job I had started that morning with my meditation. By the way, I've been really looking forward to this therapy hour with you. It's like
Let's see what comes up.
I need my therapy with Joanna that I will then broadcast to everyone. But it was a great class too. It was, Heidi Jeevan was back after a long illness, and it was just really heartening to see all the people showing up and just like, you know, we're just meditating and doing some yoga and feeling a little better than we did when we came out. And I'm like, can we get back to that? Like, you know, we've had a few rocky roads in the last couple years. And it was actually really cute at the end. You know, we're all shaking it out and like they're playing this drum beat and everyone's dancing around. And the dog starts like, you know, yowling at me. So I go out with the laptop and I start dancing around. He's all into it. I mean, he loves to just shake like a maniac. Ian starts dancing around. And so suddenly I have all this clarity. Like I feel really good. I'm like, did it. I did it, Eclipse. We did it. And the next day I'm feeling all good and clear and motivated. And I'm already starting to see some manifestations take place. And then yesterday, on the third day, I woke up with that feeling of, you know, how like you go into a Word document and change the margins and it does some auto thing. And suddenly you can never get the margins straight again. And everything's just like slightly out of alignment. Yeah, that's how I felt. So I actually think it's kind of funny how on the third day you did a past life regression and I went and got my roots done. And I felt like that was a really good description, metaphor of you and I. It's like Joanna's going to go in even deeper. She's going to go into her 12th house and fuck some shit up. I'm going to go get my roots done. And a pedicure. And here we are now, day four therapy.
Day four therapy. So I would also, yes. So yesterday also, Eclipse Day we talked about, the next day I was exhausted. I felt completely hungover. I felt my body was sore in places I had forgotten about, and which was also actually kind of nice to just, oh, like the body's moving through some things, detoxifying, like really like waking up as well. And then I had scheduled quite quickly this past life regression. I mean, I didn't really like, I think I booked it on Monday, like on Eclipse Day. The before was also bringing up some sadness and bringing up some grief, a version of sadness, a deeper version of sadness that I was some sort of unexpected. And the thing that actually really came to me Tuesday into Wednesday, these like day two, day three after the eclipse, was we talk a lot about this. We're upgrading. We're increasing our consciousness. We're elevating. We're moving to, we're adjusting the algorithm, right? We use the mantra. We use the meditation. We use breath work. We use physical practice. So many things that, you know, and you use spells and all kinds of other like witchy stuff that I don't do. I do things, you know, you don't do. So we all have our own practice. And I think it's evolving. Right, of what feels right, when, et cetera. But as we're doing this and as we're elevating and growing, the old stuff has to be let go. And so there was something also after that eclipse where I just thought, phew, like, let's get this thing out. The old stuff really has to just, you know, we've actually brought it up to move it out. And I think that there's something there that really does need to be processed and integrated. And I think some of it can be done in the, you know, very mundane way of let me get my hair colored and my nails done and let me go, you know, buy a gourmet meal and go to a restaurant and, you know, or go for a hike or take a bike ride or whatever that thing is that is an expression of just being in the world and in the body. I played tennis, you know, I really was like, okay, let me get back into the physical body. But there's something just to acknowledge again of the letting the old go and to say goodbye and allowing it just to move. And, you know, when we did that timeline also, and I think you and I are tuned to this in a particular way that, but also we have to keep reminding ourselves that it's going to be different every time. We are approaching that. And we talked about that, right? So this this guided meditation we both did on New Year's Day, which was at this point, what, 3.5 months ago, 4 months ago? I can't count. Time is fake.
Who cares?
But we did it then, and each of us had our own experience with it. And then we're coming back to it, and you were like, wait, was it always this short? Oh, was it like this? And, you know, and we had different memories of the thing because we're approaching it completely different at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think also just like the space I had set for myself on New Year's was like way like cozier, sleepier, like nom, 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 you know, 10 o'clock at night and it's a cold winter's night out there. And this one we did right after we had done 3 hours of like Kundalini and meditation with our old teachers on the screen and like a few people on a Zoom. And we're like, and you, well, you had to get, you were doing a reading at like one.
We had no time. I was like, we need to do it right now.
The lucky person, whoever got that reading from you, they must have got, what planet did it come from? But yeah, I just felt like it was over before it even started. And that was one of the reasons why I was feeling kind of wonky, because it was that feeling of, did I not do that right? Why is it, what's not, it's not as clear. I don't, what did I just do? But it's, I think also we kind of piled it on. And so, you know, one, for a normal person, you know, maybe you do like one thing a day, like just pull one card. And we were like, let's pull out the whole deck, you know? But that was a nice thing too, though, about doing the workshop later. It kind of just evened some things out. And like I said, I felt like I had gone halfway on something. And, you know, it's sort of like you can use any metaphor. Like if it's a rebirth, it's like, all right, well, are you done pushing? Or like I'm just thinking about the last few days, like, we had a reset. We had a, you know, quote unquote rebirth. We had a new start. There could be some postpartum after that, everybody. Like that might, you know, if we're gonna pick a story, it's almost like the law of consequence. Like there's going to be consequences to any energy move. And you can tell yourself whatever you want to tell yourself about it. And it's funny because, like, you know, you and I have been talking a lot. I mean, we talked a lot last night. I took notes after our conversation because I was like, well, we should have recorded half of that. So
you sent me some notes. Yes.
I sent you some notes. Hi, Joanna. Great phone call. I have some notes. But like, I'm actually taking notice of how, of back to the whole point of the stories we tell ourselves and like explaining things and the rationalizations that I'm doing for things. It's like, and this is back to what we started with, you know, if we weren't paying attention to astrology, would we even notice these things? If we weren't paying so much attention. And I said to you, I was like, listen, I would love to not be as sensitive as I am. I would love to not be this sensitive. And yet I'm a born sensitive person, as are you, as are like a lot of us. And the more we wake up, the more we feel we're not under an anesthetic, like you're hearing the scrape of the dentist drill and all that shit. I mean, I don't know. We're really mixing metaphors. It's soup, everybody. It's metaphor soup. So, you know, this whole following astrology and I'm going to say something unpopular, but like making excuses for things like, oh, I'm so scattered, fucking Mercury retrograde. It's like, is it Mercury retrograde or do you need to get your shit together? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been thinking about just some like, I don't even know what to call it, like some slides that are coming up for me in my life that are like, just situations, problems, if you want. I mean, but I wrote this down. I put this in my stories. It's like, your problem is you think you have problems. And I don't know if that was a Yogi Bhajan saying, or if that was something that Guru Jagat said, or like one of the teachers, Tony Robbins could have said
pretty
it.
Pretty standard. Yeah. I think that's a universal law here. Yeah.
And yet it took a long time for it to kind of get into my head. So yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, whoever let that in. But you know, I had like I'm looking at one situation and I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, actually, I started this program I'm with the Gene Keys and it's a prosperity program. And I'm like, so of course, like it's, I'm going to, you know, the universe or whatever you want to call it, is going to throw up some challenges to me if I'm taking on this course, right? It's going to throw up some obstacles. And so I'm like, ah, well, that's why this is happening, because I'm taking this course. It's dredging things up. I'm having to like look down a wound that I've been carrying for a while. Thought I dealt with it. Guess not. So on the one hand, I could satisfy myself with that and be like, ah, that's why this is happening, because I'm doing this, because I started doing this Kundalini yoga thing, because I started reading this book, because, you know, because. Whereas then I'm like, okay, well, I am also creating my own reality. So do I have to does a challenge have to get thrown up in front of me? I'm accepting it. I'm saying, ah, this is what it is, and this is why. But you know what I mean? It's like, if I'm rationalizing this, I'm rationalizing something I don't really like. So why don't I just fucking change it?
Right. Yes, you can, and you have the power to do it. And the other thing I want to say that I think is important that you alluded to, which is that as the situation that you thought you had dealt with before is arising again. And this is part of this sort of cycles of life. And what I was listening to this Three Wise Women on YouTube, including Pam Gregory, and I can't remember the name of the other women, but one of them was talking about this spiraling. And it's not, in some ways we should start to look at cycles as spirals rather than cycles, meaning a cycle going around and around like a merry-go-round, and it comes back to the same place that it began. But what actually is happening is that time and information and our energies, bodies are spiraling through time and space. And so if there's a situation or something that you're working on or working through, it might come up in different ways over the course of a lifetime. So the thing that occurred 10 years ago that you thought was quote unquote resolved and like never have to bother with that again, thank you very much, actually might come back with a new veneer, a new circumstance, a new, you know, a new person embodying it, or a book, for example, that has more knowledge that's going to give you new data that you can now deal with at the higher level of consciousness that you are today than you were not 10 years ago, because you have 10 years of lived experience. You have 10 years of new cellular memory. You have, you know, 10 years of new, you know, hair color and a new approach to life. And so in a way it's like, yeah, we are creating the reality because the issue is being brought up again, but it's now you have more awareness. You mm-hmm. understand the transparency of it. You understand you're co-creating it. You understand that the issue is now there for your, you know, for you to learn something and for you to experience it at a different, from a different perspective, hopefully to get through in a very, you know, aligned with divine energy and co-creating to move it through at a higher frequency that is really more to your benefit, because you now have the awareness and know how to do that.
Yeah, it's like this acupuncturist I went to gave me this really great tool once. Because we tend, you know, we are patterned behavioral people. Like we will fall into a pattern and not even know we're falling into a pattern. So like this thing that came up 10 years ago, that's up for review now. Thanks Mercury retrograde. You know, I'm completely different. It's a completely different set of circumstances. It's like, I have way more resources. I'm not triggered like I was. I mean, that's a big one. But she taught me this little trick is, you know, when you find yourself like in a situation where you're like, oh, this again, or, oh no, like, oh my God, it's happening again, to presence yourself. So it's like, well, when was the last time it happened? Well, like 10 years ago. Okay. So say out loud three things obvious that are different from 10 years ago now. And it's like, oh, okay. I have blonde hair now. My dog is named Cooper now. I live in Sedona. I mean, there's a million. So it's like, pull yourself out of that sense memory that could start informing. I love that word veneer, by the way. That's a good one, Joanna. You know, it's a completely different situation. And it's funny too, because like I was talking to somebody else going through having like a similar, like just feeling like they're bleeding money in a certain area. And I was like, you know, I'm feeling that too. And you know what? I'm in it. I'm just kind of in it. And it's like, I'm not going to freak out about it. That's not going to help. There is a solution. There is an end in sight. And that's another thing about this whole, the problem is you think you have problems. Like if you think you have a problem, you're in a problem frequency mm-hmm. and you're not going to find the solution in that frequency. Mm-hmm. So back to what we were talking about in the last pod, which is like, get to that Shunya point, get to that point of, all right, I'm going to be neutral about this. And I'm, you know.
Well, also, just to, again, reframe it and rename it. So it's not a problem. It's an issue or a circumstance that is might be temporary or might last some length of duration. And then understand what is this here to teach me? Mm-hmm. How can I up level through, you know, moving through this at this at a new rate, at a new level of energy, you know, with new people in my life that might have resources, like there might be other additional resources available to me now that, again, were not available in the past. So, and I've been upfront, I think, you know, with some of my friends, particularly, it's like, if I'm in some kind of a loop, I want someone to tell me, like, you are in a loop. You are not, like, get yourself out of it. Like, let's figure out a way to cross over into some other, you know, thought form to, again, solve this issue at a different frequency, because you have to be able to move up, out, around, backwards, like just move in some direction. Otherwise, you're just going to be stuck, you know, in the drain.
Well, the thing I'm like cool with is it's like the thing about something coming up for review again, the thing that like you don't ever want to deal with again. If you still have fear wrapped around something, like fear of something happening again, you know, you're living with a fear. And yeah. I mean, that's not to say it's going to happen again or not, but I think it's more. The only choice we can make is how we react to things, how we respond.
Well, so, yeah. But also it's like attracts like. So if you're holding the fear frequency, of course it's going to come back.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're still afraid of this? You're still afraid of this? Okay. Well, sorry. Punch. You know? But the thing that we were talking about in our conversation last night that I wanted to bring in here too was that whole just the concept of co-creation, and back to like what we're saying with, you know, astrology, like, would we be paying attention to all of these things if we weren't sensitive? And the fact is, the more sensitive we get, the more aware we get, the more we want to find out why we're so sensitive or what we're doing. But I think the really powerful, cool thing about that is when you uncover truths about yourself and you uncover truths about the universe and you meet teachers who let you in on some secrets about how things actually work, then suddenly, you know, all the things that were happening in your life before you woke up are still going to happen because energy, frequency, consequences. But how cool that now you actually know what the forces are at play and you can step up and start co-creating with them.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, astrology doesn't do you, you do with astrology. You know, right. Elements don't do you, you do you with elements.
Mm-hmm. And I would also even like to say astrology is just the canon of knowledge. It's really understanding the planets and the archetypes and moving through time and space and understanding as well that there is knowledge and that there is frequency and that we are multifaceted. So in many ways, it's like the planets that we look at in astrology and we follow along, as you mentioned, Mercury currently in retrograde, a perfect time to review. And it's like, okay, let me take this opportunity to dig deeper, to review, to go back, to uncover what was missed the first time. That is a co-creation. It's not a victim energy of like, oh, I can't move forward and oh, I'm stuck in the past. It's like, no, no, no. This is a facet of ourself because we're social beings and we actually, particularly women, but I think all genders like to go deep on certain topics and like to understand like what makes me tick, what makes you tick, why are we having this conversation for the 10th time, like why am I rereading this, you know, novel, you know, 20, 30, 40 times. I mean, like, you know, there are people that reread, you know, The Lord of the Rings every year, that reread, you know, Jane Eyre every year or whatever, pick your book. Because there's something new that they get every time, because there's an emotion that they tap into that feels good, that gives them energy. And I think that as we experience and understand and really delve into the fact that we are, as you say, very appropriately co-creating our experience, we can pull these little threads of, oh, this is the relational energy. This is the communicative energy. This is the expansive energy. This is the prosperous energy. You know, this is the thinking energy. This is the, you know, this is the part of me that really wants to have myself seen, to be seen by others. You know, this is the part of me that really wants to just express my emotions. And can we just have that good cry, which, as we've talked about, we're having the good cry. Like, you gotta have the good cry. And all of these pieces together, we're maneuvering in different patterns over time and hopefully growing and expanding and bringing in new, cool, exciting pieces of ourselves that have not yet been revealed.
Yeah. And when you get to release things that are taking up the disk space, you're making room for the discovery and the delight and the newness. I mean, we have the chance to make something new every breath we have. Like, you know, I've met your challenge last night. I posted on Substack, everybody. Okay. Get it all free. Okay. But like, you know, this moment right now is brand new. I've never sat doing a podcast with Joanna at, you know, 2 p.m. on April 11th. Like, new. And also, like, the old thoughts that we stay loyal to, or these old like rationalizations, you know, I could sit here and say to myself, oh, well, it's tax season, so surely no one's going to want to buy anything from me right now because it's tax season. Like, that shit that is in a lot of places that, you know, do industry and commerce. I remember working in restaurants and like, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be really slow this week because it's tax season and no one wants to buy. And it's like, that is the dumbest. I mean, it's just the dumbest exercise, I think. If you start finding yourself explaining away why something isn't going your way, watch how you're explaining it, because we can believe things into existence, good or bad. It's like, you know, there's someone out there that's going to want to go have a drink during tax season, I'm pretty sure. So, the restaurant could actually be very busy tonight.
Also, like, I did my taxes a month ago, so I forgot it was tax season until you just mentioned that. So that's
Joanna,
I'm over.
That's not normal.
I apologize.
That's not normal.
I apologize for being on top of my finances. It makes you feel bad. I highly recommend to everyone, get out ahead. Look at your bank accounts. Look at your numbers every day. See where you're at. Enjoy it.
I'm more of the mind of, oh, it's tax season. Everyone should buy skulls because death and taxes. It's skull season, everybody. It's always skull season because death is always with us.
I wanted to also say along these lines, you and I do not use this language. I don't care for it, but I do hear of it. And I know many teachers use it, of this sort of like slave mentality of like, you know, the matrix and the, you know, the 3D realm. And we're all in this sort of like stuck energy. And I don't use language like that. Hump day, Wednesday, and like, thank God it's Friday, and like tax season, and you know, oh, it's happy hour, so everybody get happy, and like, you know, 50% off your drinks, because like the only way to be happy is to have alcohol in the afternoons. I don't really like pay attention to that language, but I do think that it's a little part of this conversation. But I think it's important, again, to sort of watch how we approach this, and are we buying into the system that tells us that we need to be regimented with our time, with our energy, with our money, and that we need to sort of, there's a cycle. Even, I mean, we're talking often macro cycles, you and I, like multi-year decades, multiple decades over the course of our life. But also there's cycles of the week, right? Where it's like Monday, back to work, and, you know, get through the week. And, oh, thank God it's Thursday, we can go out tonight, and only one day left. And, you know, living for the weekends type of energy. And you and I don't operate that way. And I highly recommend people to just see what parts of themselves do operate that way. I liked going to work when I was working in an office. I loved so much Virgo. I liked the regiment of it. I liked that. It was joyful in a way to give some structure. And, you know, that's one way to look at it. Another way is like, oh, I'm a slave to the man. You know, it's like, that doesn't help.
I think there's a lot of comfort in routine and familiarity. Like, oh, this is what Sunday feels like. Like, I could easily like dip myself back into like a Sunday growing up. You know, oh, you go to church and then we come home and we're still in our good clothes, and we're like, do we change out our good clothes? We have a donut, and then a football game goes on. And it's so funny. I'll never forget the sound of the 60 minute.
Oh yeah.
Tick, 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 tick.
Same.
That was like, weekend's over, bitch. You better do your homework now. Like, it's always this like dreadful, like, oh shit, there it goes. But it's really interesting how, you know, throughout like whatever your routine is, Tuesday has a feel to it. Sunday has a feel to it. You know, Wednesday has a feel to it. Like, there's just something that feels like Wednesday, and I can't explain it. It's very visceral.
That is true. And I would say as well, I've been having a lot of trouble with this because I'm having a day or a moment or experience where it doesn't feel like the day on the calendar. And it's accelerating for me personally, where I'm not matching up with this calendar anymore. It's not aligning.
No, things are, I mean, it's, everything's weird anyway. It's even like, it finally got warm here in Sedona, and like, we've had two or three days now of just warm. And like, the dog and I have been shivering for about 5 months. And then all of a sudden, you know, so he's outside in the sun loving it. And then all of a sudden I see him, and he is like crashed out inside on the tile. Like, his eyes are kind of like lolling and his tongue's out. And we're like, shit, did we miss spring or something? Like, did we just skip? Like, what is this feeling? Like, what, where are we? What's happening? But yeah, I mean, it's just, I think what it is, again, it's that co-creation though. It's like, all right, am I going to let whatever's on the TV tell me what time it is or what day it is? Am I going to let something somehow inform me? Like, what, am I going to let something tell me what is time, what is space, what is my location? Or is that something I can just do for myself? Like, even coming home yesterday from getting, like, I don't know, I got my hair done like earlier than I usually do. And so I did the groceries, I came back, and you know that moment when you come home out of routine, like, even if like you came home sick from school, like, you just sort of like, whoa, this house feels weird because like it's 11 a.m. and you're not supposed to be at home at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday. Like that's weird.
That's why that nap that I took the other day at 12, I think I went down around 12:30 and I woke up around 1:30 and I was so disoriented. It was still light outside. I thought, well, do I go exercise? What do I need? Look, what's the thing that's going to, it was very odd. And again, this has been going on, I would say, well before eclipse season, but certainly with these eclipses, again, it's like, it's daylight and all of a sudden for 4 minutes, it's dark, it's nighttime, the temperature drops, things wobble. There's the frequency has shifted, right? Where we're moving back and forth onto new timelines. And so the physical body is having a reaction. Like my physical body was having a reaction. I'm not even in that path of that last eclipse. I'm
telling you, we're in bodies for the first time. Like, what the hell do I do with this? I took a nap after the timeline jump because I was tired, but also I was like, I needed like a palate cleanse or something, or I needed to black out for a sec and hopefully reset myself in some dream space. But I mean, I just think it's funny how like it's becoming very bumper stickery, like hop a timeline, pick a new timeline. And it's like, we can't even like keep to the fucking linear line that is laid out for us. We're like, whoa, no, let's go over here. Gee, why can't I figure out what I need to eat to keep this body alive? I don't know.
I know. No, yes. That's a whole other conversation about the food intake. It's very strange.
I mean, we made pasta again last night. We just made pasta and it just sat like a rock in my stomach. And I'm like, well, I guess that wasn't the right thing to eat. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I was just going to say that this eclipse energy, I think, again, here in the U.S., because we experienced it in our geography, has been particularly impactful and energizing in all of the ways that you and I are talking about. A lot of energy coming in, a lot of energy needing to be processed, a lot of energy needing to be moved through. Again, if you're sensitive, you are going to feel these shifts. And we all have moods. I mean, this is for the Luddite, you too have moods that change over the course of a day, and over the course of a week, a month, a year. And I do think that this, because of, from an astrological perspective, there's a few things I want to say about the eclipse. Number one is that it's a new moon eclipse. And when we have a new moon, we are building in energy until the full moon. So there is a 2-week window, particularly of heightened potency from this new moon in Aries until the full moon, which is actually going to be a full moon in Scorpio on the 23rd of April. So that'll be fun and exciting, I think. I'm ready for it. I like a full moon in general. And so there's a 2-week period. So I think we can expect, you know, the growth. And I think I would also encourage everyone to watch the energy and see what's building and growing. Some people are particularly sensitive to the lunar cycles as the moon goes from new to full and then starts waning again back to the dark moon and beginning again that 28-day cycle. A lot of women I know, you know, got their periods and began their menstrual cycle on this new moon, particularly potent, like reset their cycle to this lunation. So again, watch that energy, watch the body. Watch the fluids literally in the waters in your body. So that's one thing. And then another thing that was interesting too about, again, that's specific to this eclipse was that we had this Mercury retrograde. So Mercury, whenever you have a planet retrograde, it goes to, you know, the farthest degree, and then it goes back to the beginning, and then it goes back again. And so we are going, you know, Mercury's moving backwards. So Mercury's going to go back. And on April, I think 25th, we'll stop at 15 degrees and then turn around, so to speak, and it was seeming as if it were move forward in the sky. And it doesn't hit the eclipse, the point that it was during the eclipse, until May. So that's even longer, taking us in this like part of this shorter cycle, again, how it lingers out over the next couple of weeks. So this eclipse story is particularly potent, just given those two pieces, let alone, you know, some of the, how some of the other planets are moving. So it's really, the energy is still very, very potent, primed. It's very specific. Pay attention to what's been highlighting in your world, because this is, you know, we're just beginning this story. And as you're saying, like, whatever the problem, not a problem, circumstances, the working through it, it might take a little bit of time. It's not just going to be over tomorrow. Life also, by the way, is just not like that.
We're not out of the woods yet, folks. Well, that was like when I said to you, I'm like, so how long is this going to last now? Yeah. Like, it's like the eclipse isn't like a, it's not like a one and done thing where it's like, well, did that, check mark, back to.
Well, a lot of people think that because they drove to the path of the eclipse. They got an Airbnb, they got their little glasses, they, you know, they got their little chairs out and had a little party on, you know, on the green. And then they packed up and they went home and they were like, that was cool. And now it's over. No. Never.
No, and then Joanne and I are just like rolling around doing bundle rolls on the internet. But no, my cycle waited. I'm very regular, extraordinarily regular. And like when I saw where we were going with this, I'm like, oh, you motherfucker. Okay. All right. I get it. I think that was another reason why. I mean, seriously, like right at the moment, I was like, there it is. Okay, great. But yeah, I like this awareness too, though, around like even like writing the new moon intentions. It's like, okay, number 10 and done. And then away we go. And it's like the energy doesn't actually just hop a timeline like that. And I suppose back to the whole rebirthing metaphor too. It's like, yeah, you don't pop out fully formed, like ready to roll, unless you're in like one of those Twilight movies, which were like really infuriating. You know, it's going to take a little, it's like this energy doesn't just, like you said, doesn't just stop. Mm-hmm. I mean, some things don't really formulate. Some things just kind of stay in the idea realm, but there's still a lot of just aftershocks, let's say, but in a more positive way, there's still lots of energy. Like there's lots of food left over from the buffet, like grab a plate, you know? But I liked what, you know, this sort of segues us into the Jupiter Uranus conjunction that we're all looking forward to too, because, well, first of all, the eclipse energy, as you said, to give, let's keep watching for the next 2 weeks. At the full moon, I'm actually going to take on and I'm going to try, I've never done this before, where it's actually taking account, not a gratitude list, because you know, everyone's like, oh, you make a gratitude list on the full moon. But it's like, well, what about taking into
account? I did not know that. You do. You're supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, supposed to. Like,
no, I don't know the rules. I can't do this intentions thing. I forget every month.
Unless it was taxes, then you would know.
Taxes I would do, yeah.
All right. Oh, and also Scorpio full moon, another great reason to have a skull out, of course.
Yes, you know, of course.
But like, I'm going to, at the full moon, I'm going to review, I think, a little bit about my intentions, like look at the intentions that I wrote and just see if there has been any development in any areas of them, that kind of thing. But I like this because it also kind of keeps us on kind of accountable. You know, it's like, I think a lot of the times people get into manifestation practices or any kind of practice and they just expect immediate results. Like, you know, within a day or so. And it's like, not quite. the 3D, as we know, is infuriatingly slow. So even though we're hopping timelines and running around, you know, with tantric energy and just wielding our superpowers, it's like it actually takes 3 or 4 days for something to come in the mail, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we started talking about the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which is April 20th, so 2 days before that full moon. And you had brought up to me the whole idea of the midpoint, because a new moon to a next new moon, there's a midpoint of a full moon.
Yeah.
With these larger, longer, wider transits, there's a halfway point to those, of course, till the next one.
Exactly. This works for every planetary conjunction. So, and it's most easily understood with the moon because it's the fastest. So every 28 days, the moon and the sun come together. And then 14 days later, the moon is opposite the sun. That's half the cycle. And then 14 days after that, it comes back and meets the sun again. And what's happening is both, you know, the sun moves a degree a day. So it's moving forward, you could say, or it's on its own cycle. And then the moon meets it again. And that's why it's not exactly on the calendar. It might not happen at the exact same time. You know, it's like sometimes the new moon happens in the morning and sometimes it happens in the evening. So, but that's the easiest way to sort of understand how these cycles. So now just take any other two planets, in this case, Jupiter and Uranus, and see them move, you know, come together to create a new cycle at a conjunction where they're at the same degree point. And then the half cycle, because in this case, Jupiter is moving faster than Uranus. Jupiter cycle is about 12 years around the sun, and Uranus is 84 years around the sun. So the Jupiter-Uranus cycle takes about 13 years, approximately. And sometimes it's a one and done conjunction like this year. Sometimes it's three time conjunction because Jupiter is moving retrograde. It depends again on how the planets are moving and where they are in their orbit. And so it's coming together now. So you would want, if you're really going to analyze this cycle, you would look back approximately 13 years ago. And actually there were three conjunctions, and I sent you the dates and I didn't write them down, and they're not in front of me, but it was twice in 2010 and once in 2011.
Okay. Yeah, it was June 8th, 2010, September 18th, 2010, and January 4th, 2011.
Okay. So then you would look at half the time. So what would have been six and a half years ago would have been the midpoint of that cycle. And that would have been what, 27, if we use the last date, it would be somewhere 2017, mid 2017.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be like July 2017.
Right.
Actually, so, August 2017 was the last full solar eclipse.
That's true. Yeah. That'd be interesting to look at that astrology now in hindsight, right? So when you're looking at these cycles, and this again works with your natal chart, right? Your natal chart is fixed. The natal planets are fixed in your astrology chart. And so then you would be looking at the transiting planets kind of conjuncting each of your natal planets or opposing them, or et cetera, et cetera. So you and I were doing the exercise to think back of, okay, well, what were we doing in 2010, 2011? And then also, what were we doing in 2017? And for these two planets, we're looking at the energies around what each of them represents. So Jupiter is about wisdom and knowledge. It's also about expansion and foreign travel. And really, like, and the idea of foreign travel truly is going beyond borders, whether they're borders in your mind or actual physical borders, which, by the way, are kind of fake. It's like a line on, you know, whenever I drive to see you in Sedona, it's like there's a board, like the line, "Welcome to Arizona." And it's just a sign, but the sign is actually after the border. I keep expecting a line on the freeway, like to see, like, okay, I'm crossing in now, but there's no line.
Well, usually, depending on the state, the roads are either better or worse than the state before. Suddenly you're like, wow, the roads are shit here, aren't they?
That's funny. You can also look at the highway markers, because then you'll see like marker zero, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like the beginning mm-hmm. of the thing. But again, you got to pay attention. But this is for real. So you're going beyond the borders, borders of your consciousness, borders of an actual physical geographical place, or even the borders, in this case, of language, right? Learning a foreign language or speaking in tongues. So Jupiter is also a representative of these sort of canons of religious knowledge and philosophical knowledge. And that we obviously are very interested in the teachings of Kundalini Yoga. You've talked a lot about, you know, being with the lamas and the Rinpoches and of the Tibetan Buddhist religion. But, and by the way, there are like multiple sects of that. And it's, I don't know the difference between one or another, but people will, there are distinct differences between them. And so Jupiter is bringing our attention and awareness in that sort of expansive, like real depth of knowing, and really asking us to understand, like, what do we believe about ourselves? What do we believe about the world? How do we relate to the world? This piece, even just talking about astrology, is very, a hallmark, I think, of Jupiter and expanding our own consciousness towards natural law and these cycles or spirals of universe. Anything else you would say about Jupiter?
Optimism. Well, yeah, I mean, Jupiter just is excited and goes for it. It's like, you know, in even if we were to like look at the Sagittarius archetype, which Jupiter rules, you know, it's like, it's the go-getter. It's the Sag mouth. It's the enthusiasm. It's the more is more is more. I mean, it can be overindulgent. You can overdo it. You can, you know, you can throw the ball really far down that field and have to chase it, you know, but there's something really lovely and almost the fool is the fool card part of, I don't know, but like, there's something really lovely about that Jupiter, like, fuck around and find out. Let's go. Let's come on, everybody. Let's go see, let's go find out what the differences are between the two Buddhism sects. I mean, do they have a softball team that they play against each other? Like, what's going on out here? What's in this wide, wonderful world? Like, there's so much to see. There's so much to do.
The Jupiter card in the tarot is the Wheel of Fortune. So there we have some, we've got also prosperity. We didn't talk about that. Abundance, prosperity. There obviously there's a lot of good luck with Jupiter. And as you said, Jupiter makes things bigger. The planet Jupiter is the biggest planet of our solar system that we can see. I don't know. Maybe there's a hidden giant planet. But there is this idea that there's something bigger than us. There's something that's fun and that's beautiful. And like, let's go out and get it and grab it and move forward. And then Uranus is like electricity and the new, the novel, the crazy, the rebellious, the different, the changing of everything. It's like there's no stasis with Uranus. There's nothing. It might be static electricity, which is really like, you know, sometimes you can touch something and get that spark. That's Uranus. It's like, it's very fast, and it's like, you can't really pin it down. Uranus wants us to move forward into higher states of consciousness. It wants us to innovate in our thinking. It's the higher octave of Mercury. And again, if Mercury is like, I got to learn this data, I need this transaction, I need to do my taxes. Oh, and isn't that fun? Well, some of us think so, yes. And some of us don't. That's fine too. And Mercury's super fast and playful. And then Uranus is just this kind of like big powerhouse let's take it to the next level.
Yeah. I like how it's almost like Jupiter is like, let's go see what's out there, what's been written, what's been done. It's sort of like the the found realms. And then Uranus is like, what don't we know? What's past this library, this university, this culture? What's past, what's over here? And I think Uranus too is like, it's kind of the wild card in the deck. You know, it's like Michael Lennox always says, you know, Uranus doesn't care if you win the lottery or burn your house down. It wants you to awaken. It wants you to snap to. It's that lightning bolt. I mean, I always think of that moment when there's lightning. Mm-hmm. Everything's lit. You know, it's the opposite of the eclipse, which is like everything goes dark. It's like for a second, everything is lit. Yeah. And it's jarring and can be scary because it's kind of garish, the lightning color. Like the light of lightning is all, it's not kind light. Like you want a filter. And then also I always think of Tesla. I think of, you know, I think of the innovators and the geniuses, and I mean, astrology is you know, it's Aquarian, it's Uranus, it is Uranus in that, you know, we don't know what we don't know until we happen to stumble upon it. And we don't know, we don't necessarily make discoveries by walking the same, I mean, if you walk the same path, if you read the same book every year, you will make new discoveries, I suppose. I'm just trying to think, I'm thinking this through now as in real time. I'm like, hang on, that doesn't work, does it? That logic. But Uranus is
still, but it does in a way, because again, if you're looking for something new, or you're looking, you know, you're reading between the lines, or you're exploring beyond what you think you know.
Yeah.
And so Uranus too, as you mentioned, lightning, it often, Uranus transits in astrology, again, observe and correlate. This is not a direct cause and effect necessarily, but often with Uranus transits come earthquakes, come some kind of destruction, whether it's a building falls down or sometimes a death, a single death or multiple deaths. Often we see these giant earthquakes that come in and people die in the dozens, in the hundreds, and in some cases in the thousands. And, you know, or a hurricane or a tsunami or some combination thereof, a wildfire. You know, the earth is moving and it's declaring in a way its own independence, like, hey, step up, pay attention, listen to me. There's something new that has to get revealed. And so coming up towards this conjunction or this major astrological aspect, which is really one of the main things in this calendar year that astrologers have been paying attention to. And FYI, that we're coming towards it. It's in this last eclipse. Two eclipses, I would say, in this eclipse cycle, in the astrology of this cycle. So these two planets are coming together closer and closer and closer at this point, and then they will meet, and then Jupiter will continue on its merry way. And so they meet at 21 degrees. I should have this written down. 21 degrees Taurus. 21 degrees Taurus. So look for 21 degrees Taurus in your chart and see what house it's in particularly. And that will give you some general themes to think about and like just resonate with and let just sit with it to see how does it feel? Like, where can I be more expansive, and B, where can I let go of the past and move towards a new future?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's kind of expect the unexpected. And, you know, it's nice that it's Jupiter. Like Michael Lennox also says, there's no bad Jupiter transit. There's just the overdoing. You might overdo things. Maybe you spend too much or eat too much or, you know, whatever, but there is something kind of exciting and electric about it, where it's like, you know, if and I think it's also inspiring and motivating just to like stay in your game, like expect the unexpected. That doesn't mean, you know, expect bad things to happen. Although if that's your chosen timeline, if you would like some drama and some, you know, some victim consciousness, by all means. I'm certainly not going to do that.
Yeah, but also it's like, that's kind of back to what we were talking about earlier. If we are truly co-creating, we get to use this for our own benefit. What is the new thing that we want to put into place? What are our Jupiter-Uranus intentions to play out over the next 13 years? Meaning what, you know, again, to break through free of the past of, you know, maybe I used to you know, not travel as much as I would have liked. I've always wanted to go to the Galapagos Islands. By the way, my mother has always wanted to go to the Galapagos Islands. And I'm like, let's just book this thing. Like, what are we waiting for? We are ready. It should happen. And I got semi-close with her, but it wasn't, we didn't make it. But again, what's holding you back in these areas? Look at the energies of the planets that we just talked about, and then also look at the house where it is in your natal chart. If you know that, you can search it online. You can email me. Happy to share, you know, where that is, because it gives you, again, it gives you a guideline of a blueprint of a story that is a start, is just beginning now. And we don't know how it will unfold, but 6.5 years from now, you might get some clues. And it's for me, particularly interesting to go back to that period in 2010, 2011, what I was doing then, what was just seeding little tiny, tiny little seeds. They didn't really show themselves for a couple of years, but I definitely know where I was in 2017. Mm-hmm. And I was like, traveling a ton. I was, you know, I lived in New York for 6-8 weeks that summer into fall, where before we opened Rama New York, like we opened Rama Mallorca at the very beginning of the year. I mean, I was building community. I was involved in a spiritual, like my own spiritual growth, the spiritual growth of other people, helping to teach, helping to coordinate. I mean, I was doing, I couldn't have even, in 2010, I couldn't have even guessed that I was going to be doing that stuff in 2017. Like there was absolutely nothing on the radar, but where was it in my chart? It was in the 11th house of community and philanthropy and humanity and, you know, of, you know, breaking free and breaking through the rules and higher and states of highest consciousness. And also in the 11th house is your hopes and your dreams. And, you know, my desire to be in community and find like-minded people ultimately came to fruition. And so here I am now, you know, 13 years later, and we're starting a brand new cycle, and it's in a different location in my chart now. It's in my first house. So it's much more personal of who I am, how I identify, you know, what I think about myself, how I honor myself, how I show up in the world, how I present myself. And hey, lo and behold, you and I are here sharing knowledge, Jupiter, in a fun, new, and innovative way, and you know, through technology, Uranus.
Yeah, and like, I think that it's funny because the word that's coming forward for me with Uranus is humility right now, which is interesting because it's like nothing grows your humility more than evidence of a greater force you're co-creating with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's almost like you're having these sort of phone call, like, or you're having these like pen pal or whatever, you're having some sort of correspondence with someone, and then you meet them in real life and you're like, oh my God, you're like this amazing force or just this incredible presence. And I feel that way with Uranus. Like we don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that we're less than. It's just, hey man, I don't know. And I think, and nothing's more of a buzzkill to Jupiter than limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. So if I try to think of how, and I'll also go back to what I was talking about earlier, the why, like, oh, this is why this is happening because I did this. Well, it's like, well, who fucking cares? Mm-hmm. Do you like it right now? Not really. All right. Well, then how about we change our beliefs and choices right now in this moment and decide that moving forward, we want the good things. This, it's going to be good stuff. It's going to be fun stuff. It's going to be powerful stuff. It's going to be stuff I could never have anticipated. And I know me, my little monkey brain likes to, like, if I think to myself, oh, Jupiter, Uranus are coming together in, you know, on April 20th, it's going to be my second house. Ooh, that's my money and material stuff. So I wonder if it'll be this. I wonder if it'll be this. Like, what a, shut up.
Yeah.
You know, it's, well, you know what, Joanna? It's like when I send you a package and you message me and you're like, what are you sending me? And I'm like, if I tell you, it's not a surprise, Joanna. And I'm like, no, tell me what it is. And I'm like, now we've made even a bigger deal out of it because it's actually a secondhand book that I thought you might want to read. But right. Now we've really like messed up, you know what I mean? Like,
I would say to you in particular, again, with this is a long cycle, 13 years. There's absolutely no way you're going to know what it's about right away. We're like, it's not going to reveal itself in the next, you know, month. It's just not.
No. And I go back to something we talked about many pods ago, which is what if it just keeps getting better? And what if it's better than I ever could have anticipated? And I think that's where I leave room for Uranus to be a good wild card and be fun. Let's get back to, this is a game. This is fun. You know, me sitting here and being like, well, you know, people are really worried about money right now and taxes, so they probably aren't going to be calling me. And it's like, what a, I don't necessarily think that, but you know how sometimes you're like, gee, I wonder why it's not so busy right now. It's like, that is the dumbest mantra to play for anyone. Like explaining why something isn't that good. I think it's fine to, like, you know, make yourself feel a little better. Like, don't take it personally. But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, maybe, but that's not a fun story. That's not a fun place to be. Let's have some fun.
I don't know what to say. I think you said it perfectly.
Let me check my net. Like, should we check? I think we covered everything maybe that we talked about.
I think we did.
How long do we think it'll last? I don't know. The midpoint. I said I can record anytime tomorrow. That was the last message I sent you last night. I did text you. I said, we are aware of a mysterious force working with us. And the more aware we are, the more we want to get to know it, know ourselves, and fuck around to see what we can co-create here.
I think that was very profound. I kept that.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was very profound. And again, it goes to, I think generally you're in my philosophy towards life at this point, which is it's a game. It's a matrix. We can maneuver through it, around it, up, down, you know, move it in whatever direction we want. Our energy is neutral. Our consciousness is neutral. It came in to this soul to have a particular experience, and we can play out the same story over and over and over and over again and become a victim to it and remain a victim to it, or we can maneuver through it and find ways to elevate and to grow and to change and to evolve. And I love this Jupiter-Uranus for that purpose. I mean, this is a real change maker. And again, in my experience too, in 2010, I wasn't studying astrology. I didn't know. I wasn't like, oh, there's this astrological aspect and, you know, it's going to last for this period of time and let me see what's going to happen. I mean, it just literally lined up. It did its thing. And here I am looking back and saying, okay, I saw how it worked. Now, with a little bit more consciousness, let me see if I can go inside it a little bit deeper and create even more for my benefit and the benefit of those I love and that are around me and the benefit of humanity as a whole. I mean, that's my intention at this point.
I like the idea too of sort of personifying the planets. Like, okay, on this day, this archetype, this character, and this character are coming together. And so if I was able to sit at a table and have a good meal with them. You know, what, you know, really, like, what would that conversation be? What would that be like? Hey guys, I finally got you together in the room.
Yeah.
Listen, I got some ideas. What do you think? Like, you know what I mean? And just like having fun with it and really like giving yourself a place at the table.
Yeah.
Like there aren't these forces. Like we do have a say. We do have a participation available to us for this. Mm-hmm. 2010, the first conjunction was 2 weeks before our wedding. And I mean, we went from 2010 living, you know, we just got married. We both work in hotels. I'm a actor. He's a musician. Like, you know, we're just that plucky couple starting out.
Yeah.
And 2016, everything's completely different. I mean, that's just life. Like if things were totally the same, I don't know, we'd probably be less enthusiastic about being this plucky couple working in hotels. But you know, whatever. I mean, things definitely that I could never have anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Good things, really good things. And I mean, look around at your life right now and all the good things that you never could have anticipated.
Yeah.
I mean, to a degree, a lot of that was like fumbling in the dark. I remember when I first sat down and talked to Gudrun Jugget, like we had like a little, she actually did private sessions, and like she's looking at my chart and she's telling me some things, you know, just like kind of like manifestation or just whatever, like the co-creation that we're talking about. And she's like, you know, I feel like you've been doing this all your life. You just didn't know you were doing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's kind of like that. And I'll say this too. There is a transition for many of us when you just sort of do things a certain way and you're successful, and then you learn a technology or you learn something kind of new that makes you more aware of what you were doing naturally. Now, for me, there's been some wobble with that, because suddenly you're aware you're doing it, and that place that changes the energy of it. Like, I booked a bunch of acting roles in a very small period of time in 2011, actually. And so suddenly I had like a lot more flow, and I was like, oh, I want to go take this acting class with this teacher that I've heard so much about, because I want to like keep this going. And fuck if that didn't like, it didn't mess me up in a bad way, but going to this acting class suddenly made me aware of things that I was already doing. And then suddenly I got self-conscious about it, and I was overthinking things, and I was kind of more in my head. There was a weird sort of recalibration. And then I came out of it with the awareness and the inherent intuitive knowledge that I had all along. So I'm just sort of introducing that as like, we're already doing it naturally. The planets are already like, we've come so far in our lives working with Saturn a certain way, working with Pluto a certain way. Suddenly we become aware of what they're doing. And maybe that might shift the experience a little bit because you become more aware. But on the other side of that is a relaxation, to me anyways, that's available, where you can be like, all right, I actually know how you work, and now I know how I work, and now we actually can co-create in a really powerful way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to come from my wound anymore. I'm going to come from my place of abundance and empowerment, right? That kind of thing.
I love it. It's sort of a combination of intention and surrender.
Yeah. And yeah, trust. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And trust. Like, I don't need to know. Okay, now that I know how electricity works, you know, now that I've gone through all the cables and cool, I'm just going to go back to flipping the switch, right? And you know what I mean? It's like they say with the gene keys. You know, he had to get it in there. He's like, he encourages this. He's like, you'll come to a point where you will just forget all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Forget it. Just, you know, it's like when you in acting, like we've learned all the lines, we've done all the rehearsals, and the director says, all right, now forget everything and just go play your part. Go put on the show. Have fun.
That was beautiful. All right. Thank you so much. Great conversation. Post eclipse.
Yes. Therapy. Therapy done, everybody.
Okay. We'll see you next time.